As Robert said, I've been at Michigan State now for about a month, and no, I still am living out of boxes. So I think for several months I'll be living out of boxes. But I kind of wear two hats. I work for Michigan State University, but also for a year now I've been the executive director of the Ultrasound Guidelines Council. So that's kind of the hat that I'm going to wear this afternoon as I talk about the current status of UGC and some of the changes that we've had recently. For some of you, this is old hat. You know a lot of this. For some of you, this will be new. Basically, the structure that we have with UGC is we've got the U.S. Beef Breeds Council. And the U.S. Beef Breeds Council assigns four breed association reps. Those breed association reps then assign researchers and lab and field technician reps to the UGC board. So we have 11 people that are here at this tier that are assigned, either the four breed reps are assigned by the Beef Breeds Council or the rest are assigned by those four breed reps. If we want to assign names to who those people are now so that you guys can poke fun at more than just me. Our four breed association reps right now, Bill Bowman with the Angus Association serves as our chair, and then Kent Anderson with the North American Limousin Foundation, Larry Keenan with Red Angus, and Robert with the Charlet Association. As for researchers, all three of our researchers come from universities right now. We've got Scott Greiner with Virginia Tech, Dean Pringle from the University of Georgia, and then Matt Spangler, who's actually in the room today, from the University of Nebraska. And then the final four people that sit on the board, Russell Kuhn is a field technician out of Bethel, Missouri, and then these other three individuals represent labs, with Becky Hayes with Ultra Insights, Mark Henry with the Cup Lab, and Rachel King with ILIA in Arkansas. So that's our board of directors. Our members for UGC are comprised of two different groups. We either have breed associations, mostly in the U.S., but we also have some Canadian breed associations that are members, and then what we call centralized ultrasound processing facilities, what most people refer to as labs. And we have five labs, and I'll talk about those in a little bit. Each breed association and processing lab has to pay 10 cents, basically, per animal for their dues. So when you send money to the labs, they're not hoarding all the money. Some of that comes back to UGC so we can support what's going on. In order to be considered a lab, a UGC-accredited lab, and this is something that's relatively new within the last year, is that each lab has to sign what we call a memorandum of agreement. It's kind of a code of ethics type document that says that they're going to abide by the rules of UGC. They also have to have at least two certified lab technicians that they employ, and they have to service at least two breeds. In addition to that, if that lab is going to serve on the board or be eligible to serve on the board, like Becky, Mark, and Rethel are currently, they have to process a minimum of 2,500 images a year, or 2,500 animals a year, and most of our labs qualify for that. We currently have five labs, four in the States and one here in Canada. Beef Improvement Ontario is our newest lab. They came on about 6 months ago. Then Biotronics out of Ames, Iowa, the Cup Lab, or Walter and Associates, also out of Ames, International Livestock Image Analysis out of Harrison, Arkansas, and then Ultra Insights out of Diagonal, Iowa. So that's kind of who comprises UGC in members, but why are we even here? What do we do? The purpose of UGC is basically to ensure the highest quality images are going into the genetic evaluations. Back when ultrasound was first implemented, there was one lab, and they could do quality control within their lab. Now that we've expanded this to five different labs so that we have quality control across all the labs, that's where UGC's role comes in. Basically, the way we do this is we administer three different types of certifications. We have field technician certification, which is probably what most of you are familiar with. We have system certification and lab technician certification. And I'm going to go through each of these piece by piece, but basically what we're ensuring is happening is that these ultrasound images are being collected by a certified field technician. They're being collected using a certified system, so we know that that system is accurately collecting that image. It's been interpreted by a certified lab technician, and then ultimately that information is going to go to the breed association and end up in EPDs. So I'm just going to go through these piece by piece and first go through field certification. We currently have 160 field technicians. The majority of those are in the U.S., followed by Canada, and then we have two technicians that are in Brazil. They can be certified on one of six different machines, New Aloca, Old Aloca, Classic, Aquila. We've heard three different pronunciations in the last 24 hours on this. I think it's Aquila or somewhere along those lines. Sonovet and Falco. Aquila is our newest machine, and so we don't have anyone currently certified on that. Sonovet and Falco are older machines, and we don't have anyone certified on it. So the three machines that you're going to see in general are the New and Old Alocas and the Classics. When field technicians certify, they'll certify for a two-year cycle. We conduct field certifications twice per year. We just had one last month in Ames, Iowa, and in the last few years that this is where they've fallen, in Ames and in Athens. And then later on this year in September, we'll have one in Athens, Georgia. Field certification is comprised of basically two things. We've got a written exam, and then technicians are required to scan 40 head. What that actually is it's 20 head, and they scan those twice. They come through the chutes twice, so we get 40 animals. Half of those animals, 10 of those animals, or 20 that they're scanning, are going to be breeding stock that don't get harvested. The other half are going to be fat cattle that will get harvested. That way, at least half the animals, we have actual carcass data to compare back to those scans, and the other half we use a reference technician to get comparable images on. Another option that field technicians have, and we actually have at least one technician in the room right now that falls under this, is our absentia technicians. And those are field technicians that basically have a really high throughput. They scan at least 1,000 head annually, and this is different. Up until a few months ago, this number was 1,500, so we lowered this recently. They also have to be certified for at least 4 years, so they have to go through at least two certifications. And then once they qualify for that, with those first two qualifications, they apply. And then we go to the labs, and we make sure that they're not submitting a large percentage of low-quality images. If they fit all those criteria, we then give them absentia status. So they're still on a two-year cycle, just like normal field certification. However, they don't have to take the time and expense to go to field certification. Now, we implemented some additional requirements this year, and Robert mentioned these earlier at lunch. One of them is an annual participation agreement. It's just a one-page agreement. We have the technician sign. And for the most part, it's so that we have current contact information. So if a technician moves or something along those lines, we can still find them. And also that we have a record of systems being used. Machines break down, frame grabbers get replaced, or things like that. And we just want to know what that technician is currently using. Probably the largest change that we've made this year is we've implemented an educational program. And the first one is going to take place at the end of this month in Lincoln, Nebraska. We're requiring technicians to attend these educational programs once every 2 years if they've been certified less than 6 years. There's no requirement on this as to number of head scans, so it doesn't coincide with absentia necessarily. If you have been certified for less than 6 years, you just go once every 4 years. And that's a minimum requirement. You can go every year if you'd like. Now, as I said, this year's program is going to be later this month. It'll be July 28th and 29th, which is a Monday and Tuesday in Lincoln, Nebraska. And it's not just exclusive to technicians. Anyone in this room that's interested in learning a little bit more about ultrasound is more than welcome to come. You can pick up a registration form at our website, which is ultrasoundbeef.com. And at the educational program, we're going to have several opportunities for technicians. One is to work one-on-one with the labs. Most of our labs will be there, shoot side, we'll have animals there so people can brush up on their scanning techniques. We'll have experience with those field technicians interpreting images in the computer lab. And then there's a variety of speakers that will be speaking, talking about marketing and business practices, breed association paperwork, ultrasound and how it's utilized in genetic evaluations, and carcass anatomy. And then finally, it's going to give technicians an opportunity to interact with other technicians, particularly those Absentia technicians that we haven't seen in a number of years. It gives them an opportunity to get together with their fellow technicians again. So that's our field certification. Probably the one certification we do that people are aware the least of is our system certification. And what we define a system as is the combination of machine, frame grabber, settings, and lab interpretation software. So one of these six machines that we have, we currently have four different frame grabbers that are certified. The settings that get associated with those machines. So these first three things are things that are directly related to the field technician. And then this fourth part component of the system is basically has to do with what lab you send your images to. So what lab interpretation software is used to interpret those images. As of right now, it has nothing to do with an image capturing system. So you can use any image capturing system and it's not going to affect what system you're using. But the one thing that I do want to know is that not every lab can accept images from every system. And so that's where this part does come into play. For instance, two of our labs, Beef Improvement Ontario and Ilya in Arkansas, only accept Alloca images right now. They do not accept anything from Classic technicians. And so if you're using the Classic machine, those are two labs that you would not be able to send images to because of this lab interpretation software issue. When we have system certification, it is kind of a costly process, and labs incur those costs. They have to harvest a minimum of 40 animals and collect their extracts on those animals so that when they put through a new system, when they're putting through a new software or a new machine, that we know that we're still getting accurate measurements on the marbling, because that's our most critical. Ribeye area and back fats, there's very little variation system to system. But when we're looking at PFATs, that's where these models come in, and this is where system certification plays a large role. Currently, we have 34 different UGC-approved systems. And so, as I said again, not all labs can accept all images. And because we have 34 approved systems, we have a system for Sonovet that's approved. We have a system for Falco that's approved. UGC is just discussed, we're going to put a disclaimer in our certifications from now on that the field technicians are responsible for making sure their system is acceptable. If we have labs, they go out of business or decide they're no longer going to service a particular system, that's UGC isn't going to be responsible for that. That's between the labs and the technicians to make sure that their system is usable. The last certification we do is lab certification, and we actually have approximately 100 certified lab technicians right now. Most of those are in the five labs, because most U.S. breeds and some of the Canadian breeds require images to go through a certified lab. Not every breed association does. For instance, in the U.S., the Simmental Association does not require images to go through a lab. It just has to go through a certified technician in that case. We also have independents, or what I've been coining independents, that are certified. Most of those are university people that are going to analyze university data for research projects. We also have several from South America that are certified to use in their genetic evaluations in Argentina and in Brazil and places like that. Our lab technicians get certified based on machine type, and so we're currently considering Alloca, both old and new, as one type of lab certification and Classic as another. Those are the only two lab certifications we're doing currently. We currently, because we have no technicians in the field certified on Falco, Sonovet, or Aquila, we have not implemented a lab certification for those machines yet. Just like field technicians, lab technicians are certified for 2 years at a time, and certification takes place at the labs. So if there's anyone interested in becoming a certified lab technician and is not affiliated with a lab, you can contact me or contact a lab, and we just kind of piggyback you on top of the lab when we do their certifications. Very similar to field certification, lab certification involves a written exam, and then they have to interpret 40 animals per trait, ribeye area, rib fat, rump fat, and IMF. After they've interpreted those 40 animals, they also have to give an image quality score, and that's a score of 1 to 7, where 1 to 2 are acceptable, 6 and 7 are rejected, and 3, 4, and 5 are marginal images. They have to just assign those scores. They don't have to interpret the images for rib, rump, and IMF, because rib fat and ribeye area are collected from the same image. So that just kind of gives you a picture of, in a nutshell, what UGC, why we're here, what we're doing, and maybe give you a little idea of some of the stuff you didn't realize UGC was involved with before. And with that, I know I went shorter than Robert wanted me to go, but I'll be happy to take any questions that anyone might have. Yes.